Parent Talk, the show for parents, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. As always, this is a live show and the call-in number is 510-770-1550. We're always interested to hear your opinion, so please do call 510-770-1550. One of the biggest casualties of our immigration to this country can be the loss of our mother tongue. Without enough support from society or media, it becomes very hard to teach and preserve our language to the next generation. In fact, in earlier generations, parents would deliberately not teach their kids any other language than English because they felt their child would assimilate into this American culture faster. But now, research seems to show that early experience with two language systems seems to leave children with a mental flexibility, a superiority in concept formation, and a more diversified set of mental abilities. Another study showed that students who took a foreign language in high school scored significantly higher on the verbal scale of the scholastic aptitude test, that is the SATs. So how do we ensure that our kids learn our language or indeed another language? What are the challenges? To speak with us today on this topic are two language teachers. Madhu Agarwal is a well-known and respected Hindi teacher who has been responsible for the great strides taken by the language in our school system. Thanks to her efforts, Hindi is recognized as a language for high school credits, and she has recently received federal funding to offer free classes to interested students. Manoj Emprantiri is a leader in the Malayali community and a principal contributor at Maitri Bay Area Malayali Community, Kerala Club California, and Ayyappa Samaj. Welcome to the show, Madhu and Manoj.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the motivations for having your child learn an Indian language may be quite different. And here we have Manoj, who teaches Malayalam. And my guess is, Manoj, that most of the parents who come to you, who bring their children to you, do so because it's their mother tongue. And they're keen that their children get a proficiency in that for some reason. So just can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So thank you, Vidya, for the opportunity to come here and talk. We have been teaching Malayalam classes over at the ICC for the last year.
I see.
And we have had excellent response from the community. And the most of the parents who are bringing the children to the Malayalam classes and enrolling them there is exactly, the same thing that you have just mentioned, which is they want to have the kids to also appreciate and be able to read and write, and more importantly, speak Malayalam.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have done is the Malayalam classes at ICC, we have actually used a lot of conversation and storytelling and getting children to be not shy to speak in Malayalam.
So you're telling me that you've had these classes for a year. So it's a fairly recent development. So what brought this about?
We always had parents asking for, whether there are Malayalam classes out there.
Mm-hmm.
When my son was growing up, we had the good fortune to be friends with Padma Shandas, who lives right here in Fremont, Newark area.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a passion for Malayalam poetry and Malayalam storytelling. And she actually took the time to teach a bunch of kids. And that was the only such Malayalam class available, we are talking 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then today we wanted to have a much more organized effort in that one. So, and we have had a lot of parents coming to us. And that is why we started,
this.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And Madhuji, you are a proponent of Hindi. But my guess is that not everybody who comes to have their child learn Hindi from your classes is motivated by a mother tongue issue. It's more like a connection to India. Would that be right?
You are correct, Vidyaji. Hindi is our national language, so other languages. I'm from Punjab, so I learned Punjabi as I was growing up. So a lot of children who come to us come from mixed families where one parent is from India, another parent is non-Indian, like American maybe. And, of course, some of them have come from Punjab or Gujarat or they all feel that other languages are more regional languages. Hindi is almost every Indian knows Hindi, even though they might say, oh, I'm not comfortable. You know, I'm more comfortable with Malayalam or Telugu or Tamil. But every parent I've met who grew up in India, doesn't matter which part of India, they understand Hindi. They do speak a little bit. So somehow I feel a lot of parents are relating to Hindi as a national language, a lot more prevalent.
So why do they pick Hindi over perhaps their mother tongue?
Some of the children are exposed to the mother tongue at home, but mm-hmm. they did not get a formal exposure to Hindi, so that's why they come. Sometimes I come across parents where they feel they can't find a school for specific language, for example, Punjabi. A lot of adults who come to our classes, even if they would have preferred to learn another regional language, they don't want to go to like Gurdwara for learning Punjabi because they are, you know, those classes are catered for young children. So they would rather go to adult Hindi class. Mm-hmm. So I've had mixture of, but most parents feel if their children learn Hindi, it's a great exposure mm-hmm. to another language, Indian language, and they can pick up their regional language from
there. Manoj, you had an experience like that as well.
That is correct. So even though I am a Malayali, my sister, sister-in-law and brother had decided to send their child to Balavihar and learn Hindi mm-hmm. because she, my little niece is a fan of Bollywood music and dances and things like that and Hindi movies. So she wanted to get to know more about it. Mm-hmm. And she, what her thought was, Malayalam she's already learning in passing at home from her parents and grandparents, etc. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here is a great opportunity for her to learn Hindi. And it's pretty amazing to see the them getting excited about your national language.
Right.
Of course, she's born and raised here, but she's still, she's a Malayali. She identifies as a Malayali and of course, as a United States, U.S. Indian. But she still has that interest in wanting to learn Hindi.
So Hindi in this instance, is it a way to connect to the culture? A very broader Indian culture rather than just the culture of your home state?
That is right. Because she also, friends at school, they are most of her friends are speaking Hindi.
Oh, they do?
Right.
Okay.
So so they actually speak at Hindi at home. So here is her opportunity to actually learn and then, slowly converse, start conversing with them.
So Bollywood seems to be quite a driving force for many, many people because that's their probably only exposure to Indian culture, especially as you said, from children of mixed families. Would you say that?
Definitely, definitely. I feel Bollywood has really brought this back into our, forefront, Hindi, into the forefront, even though a lot of the movies nowadays have mixed Hindi and English. But I feel it has enticed children. Bollywood songs, they want to do folk dances, they want to take part in, a movie. They want to watch movies. They want to do dances, and all of this has. They want to understand. They want to understand what they're dancing to. They want to understand what they're listening to. What the song means correctly. In fact, a lot of times, a lot of my students, once they start learning, and even though they can see subtitles, they say, "Oh, the translation was so bad." So it's very interesting to hear those kind of comments now that, when they learn the language.
Is the motivation coming from the children themselves or is it largely driven by parents? And I'll take this, Manoj, you can take this first.
Absolutely. It actually is coming from the children. That is a funny thing.
Yeah, especially, I wouldn't have expected it.
Especially regarding this Hindi piece. For the Malayalam piece, it is coming from the parents, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to bring up is, it's not just the kids who are interested in learning Malayalam. What we are finding out is that we have a lot of Malayalis who had actually born and brought up in Bombay and Delhi and outside of Kerala,
mm-hmm.
and they are actually realizing that they are really missing out on something,
mm-hmm.
and we have had quite a bit of folks who had coming to us and saying that okay, we know that you have a two programs going on for kids for between 6 and 14. How about us?
Mm-hmm.
We have so many people. We have friends here who would like to learn Malayalam, and what can you do for us?
I think because I do believe that when you learn a language, and it doesn't have to be an Indian language, when you learn a language, somehow it's a doorway to that culture, because there is some things you cannot understand about the culture till you know the language. I mean, would you say that's right, Madhuji?
Definitely, definitely. Recently, I had an opportunity to attend some teacher workshops in New York. In fact, it was related to the federal funding we got for our own program to teach children. So NYU had received a grant to teach the teachers. And it was very interesting, something that was brought to my attention, that it needs to be related to children's interests. What is realistic for them? Would a 7-year-old be buying a ticket? Not really. Their parents would arrange for their ticket. But would a 7-year-old would go for Golgappa chaat maybe? Yes, they will. And would they enjoy if they could talk to the person, order their food in Hindi? Definitely, if they are in an Indian environment. In fact, our theme this year was a virtual tour of India to attend an uncle's wedding, uncle or aunt's wedding. So in that context, we had to shift a little bit. Initially, we had like a scenario where they would be talking to a travel agent, but we were questioned by our teacher, why would a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old need to buy a ticket?
So
we changed some scenarios. And it has a very interesting effect. When children are taught in the scenario they could be in, they show a lot more interest. For example, part of our scenario was being introduced to an extended family. When they go to attend a wedding, they're going to be introduced to Mama Ji, Mami Ji, Nana, Nani, Dada, Dadi, Cha 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 Chi, whatever, you know, Bua. So they really understood that, and how to greet them, how to express, or what kind of questions they might ask, which is very cultural part of it, you know. Nani would ask about your extended family here, or your friends, or your school, or so that's how we were able to integrate a lot of interesting conversation that we know is natural in our Indian cultural environment, you know.
I think that's a great note to take a short break, because after the break, I want to talk a little bit more about the methods of teaching language and what are effective and what are not effective from both your perspectives. We are talking to Madhu Agarwal and Manoj Emprantiri about the different ways, about the need for learning a mother tongue and why the interest is there, and not just a mother tongue, but a second language, and why the interest is there and what are the good ways of doing that. We're going to take a break. After the break, we'll be back with more on this topic of learning a second language. When we finish the break, we'll be happy to take your calls. Our number is 510-770-1550. That's 510-770-1550. And we look forward to hearing about your experiences with teaching your child a second language and how that has been and what are the challenges. Back after a break. You're listening to Parent Talk. Welcome back to Parent Talk. I'm your host, Vidya, and today we're talking about the challenges of getting our kids to learn a second language. And what I learned very interestingly before the break, there are a lot of adults as well who want to learn an Indian language for various reasons, whether they have been out of the country for a while, or maybe they are married to an Indian partner and would like to learn the language. And also, we also learned that the motivations for learning an Indian language may be quite different. One may be that it's the mother tongue, as we heard from our guest, Manoj Emprantiri, about Malayalam, which many people want their kids to learn because it's something that it's their mother tongue and it's a link to their culture. We also learned from Madhu Agarwal, who is of the Madhu Hindi Madhu Bhasha Kendra. That's how I've got it now. Madhu Bhasha Kendra, that many people learn Hindi because for them that's their first link to the country. It's a national language and they feel that that's their connection to India. We are going to talk in this part of the show about the ways to teach language that are effective. And also, I think Manoj had a point during the break that he wanted to talk a little bit more about the motivations of parents who want their kids to learn Malayalam.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
So, thank you. Madhuji was talking about teaching kids so that they can go you know, talk about you know, various Indian functions, etc. You know, all those things.
The contextual part of it.
So similarly, I think the key thing that motivates the parents to bring their kids to Malayalam classes is so that they can actually, when the kids go back to Kerala, they will be able to talk to their grandma and grandpa in Malayalam and actually have a conversation going rather than
kind of translation going on.
Exactly.
Yes.
Or forcing the grandma and grandpa having to speak in English, right? You know, the good news is most of the grandparents nowadays actually can speak in English.
And they can, yes.
Correct.
Exactly.
But, you know, but when you start talking about tradition, when you start talking about their childhood, they would rather be speaking in Malayalam, in their mother tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And because they feel like that connection, the, you know, when you're speaking from the heart, you know, you want to speak in the language you are most comfortable with.
So I want to add to this. We started teaching back in 1987, and our method of teaching was old style. I was the one who felt I need to teach them alphabets before I can teach them sentences, you know, words or then sentences and then conversation. More and more, the modern teaching methods is we need to teach conversation first. Reading and writing will come. It is important. So this is some major change I feel is coming into our program in last 3-5 years, and this year even more so after attending these teacher workshops. It's the whole theme of the summer program was start talking. It's abbreviated to start talk, but the whole theme is start talking, and everything is based on conversation.
No, that's excellent, because I do remember that when I had explored the option of learning for my kids to learn Hindi, we've tried it at the school a couple of times because there were some after school classes. We've tried various options, and I think the thing that deterred me the most as a parent was they spent so much time over the alphabet that really I felt that the emphasis was all wrong, because what I wanted them was to get going on the talking part.
Correct.
Of it. And because we have a different script for each language, it becomes so daunting, you know, unlike learning Spanish where you're just reading English. And so the mental picture that you form and the speed with which you absorb the language is faster. The Malayalam is also a very complicated script.
Definitely.
So is that the focus for the Malayalam classes as well? Is it a conversation-based learning?
Lot of conversation, lot of storytelling, and being able to get the children to actually speak out and feel comfortable speaking in Malayalam.
How do you do that? Give me an example of one, say, module that you have.
First of all, the key thing would be is to figuring out, letting them know that, you know, it is okay to make mistakes and feel comfortable with it.
Okay.
So that's a key thing. And simple words, achan, amma, you know, simple words. I'm sure they have had spoken that in their homes.
Right.
And here them being able to come in and say that and without having the rest of the kids laughing at them or, you know, even the instructor. Because that's part of the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you when you hear a child speaking, you know, your language with an accent, you know, some people are insensitive and they would have laugh at it. Those actually are...
Guilty.
Yeah.
When my daughter says something in Hindi, I just burst out laughing because it sounds so funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Bad,
so we need to slow down. So that those are some of the key things. And then taking a look at, pictures. A lot of the things kids have already recognized what the Malayalam word for a cat would be or a dog would be. And of course, they would be speaking with that accent. But you know, you need to keep a straight face and get them to speak out and talk.
So you start with the vocabulary,
right?
Is the vocabulary the first thing you do? How about the grammar part of it?
Grammar, all those things can wait.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of vocabulary, and then get the alphabet started, and then give them a lot of homework to do, so that they can. One thing we want to do is we want them them to get be engaged at home
as well,
and get their parents to be feeling comfortable. So and so that they can have a parent child healthy conversation and relation going on. Mm-hmm. We realize right away that 1 hour a week for 12 weeks or 15 weeks is not going to get anybody to learn anything.
Uh-huh.
It is that the exercise, the constant
use of the language.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Madhuji, what's your approach?
Yeah, I want to add to this. And again, this is my new learning, but we got to experience it by applying it this summer. The theme here was, don't go at word level. Go to a sentence level. For example, our very first sub-theme was packing a suitcase. And instead of introducing to them that objects, lehenga, churi, bindi, t-shirt, kameez, kurta, the whole thing started with, I brought a suitcase packed with these things. I opened it up and I said, mere suitcase mein ek lehenga hai. Mm-hmm. And I pulled out the lehenga.
For the benefit of people who don't know Hindi, let's translate it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in translation, if you don't know Hindi, in my suitcase, there is a lehenga. And the sentence stayed exactly the same, except in each sentence, the object changed.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they were learning, 10 objects, but they are learning it in context of a sentence, they know why is it important for them to know the word lehenga versus, whatever else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the difference I felt. We also had an approach of word level, then changing it into a sentence. So now I feel our approach is sentence level, but with a focus on, varied vocabulary, repetition of sentence, so it doesn't change. And then that got converted into a question, aapke suitcase mein kya hai? What is in your suitcase? So we had actually real objects that had a lot of impact on children, being able to see lehenga versus imagining, or through a picture. That's another alternative. But as much as possible, if you can have the real object, it seems to have a real good impact. And then we try to pick vocabulary that all 10 objects started with a different letter, beginning letter. So from that, I was able to teach them the beginning letter to write, and a worksheet was for them to match the letter to the object just from the beginning letter. They didn't have to know the whole word, but they were familiar with the word by repetition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the writing part came in, worksheet. Interestingly, we did not give any homework to children this summer except for looking up a map one day for the area they might visit in India. So that was part of our theme, that they need to find, if they need to go from A to B, how would they get there? The directions. If somebody gives them a direction, turn right at XYZ road, turn left at this particular path, or there is a marking, there's a, McDonald's or some other, a large tree
landmark,
or a school, landmarks.
Mm-hmm.
That was the theme, that they can observe the landmarks and follow the directions. Of course, the directions were in Hindi. And then to apply it, we asked them to bring a map from, off a city in India and be able to direct another student. They had to come up with directions, from that map. So that was the theme. But anyways, I might have gotten off track.
No, but these are two different approaches to language.
Right.
And Manoj, what do you have to say when you heard that
I had a couple of questions for Madhuji. One is, if there are no homeworks, how do we reinforce the teaching, what they are learning, and the other question I had is, what is the age group that we are talking about? Are we talking about the 5 or 6 year olds or teenagers, or how does that work? I'm just curious.
Right. So the first approach, no homework. Of course, during summer we had these kids for 3.5 hours, 4 days a week. So our total program was 5 weeks long, total of 70 hours.
So they were in a sense getting that information every day.
Correct. So
right,
that was
right.
But the neat thing was, I would hear from parents that on the way home, my child talked to me in Hindi. So I think, you know, when they learned to say a sentence, they were anxious to show it off. And without assigning homework, they were actually doing it. They were practicing it. We didn't say, go and talk to your mother for half an hour in Hindi. But as they were driving home, they said, you know, not what we learned, but they started talking in Hindi.
I just want to interject here that I see the merit in both your perspectives. I think when you're limited to an afternoon class once a week, then mm-hmm. you probably do have to reinforce it in a way, because otherwise they're going to forget everything by the time they come back next year. But I think it's a great idea to have a summer program where you intensively do it, so that every day you're talking, and it's such a reinforcement and you sort of immerse in that. And that brings me to my next question, that many language programs, and I learned French when I was in high school, and the way I did it at Alliance Française, which is the French teaching institution, and I went to my class the first day and the instructor only spoke in French. And it was horrible. It was a nightmare, because I was like, the first class, I just stood there and looked at him and looked at his shirt and looked at his, oh, he wears a pink shirt, and I was looking at all kinds of things because I didn't know what the heck was going on. But in a week's time, I was able to pick out the sounds and pick out by context, you know, figure it out. That's the immersion program that you have. And some of these language learning programs like Rosetta Stone have that, you know, they don't give you the English translation. They just give you the language. I mean, have either of you tried that approach, and has it been successful?
For us, I don't know, Rosetta Stone versus, I haven't had much of an experience, although I did look at it at one time. I won't get into it too much. But I feel having a practical approach really helped us, you know, mm-hmm. something kids could associate with. If we had taken a topic for them that, you know, they would not be able to practice, or they will be hesitant to practice, I think. Again, lot of homework versus little bit of homework, or something that might be natural for them to go home and do. Mm-hmm. When we put a sign of homework that you know, this is a homework you must do, versus maybe my approach now would be for this coming year, putting a twist to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe call it practice. Maybe call it something else, I think.
Soft in the blow.
So I think homework or similarly, you know, assessment versus a quiz or an exam. The exam has a fear in children's mind. If I said, I'm going to give you a vocabulary quiz today, they just walk in with a, you know, fear on their face that, oh gosh, do we have to memorize? But more and more I'm learning assessment where teacher needs to also assess themselves, you know, how much of what they were trying to teach has gotten across to children's head, and what has not gotten across, could the teachers repeat that in some way to really
reinforce it
in some way, as against just, I've introduced it, they need to know, they'd have to practice at home. Yeah. But is there another way I could introduce that concept so they'll remember it? They didn't get it first time. Maybe I need to do it second time. Maybe I need to do it third time.
Let's talk about immersion for Malayalam. I mean, how do the teachers handle this? Do they constantly go, cat, then the word for cat. What is the word for Malayalam word for cat?
Pucha.
Pucha. So do they say cat, pucha? Do they keep doing that, or do they just show the object and say this is a pucha, and then you figure it out that it's a cat?
Right. They usually have small stories for each word and each character
in Malayalam.
In Malayalam.
Okay.
And what we have recognized is most of the kids who are coming in, they actually know, they understand the basics of Malayalam.
Okay. So there is some reinforcement at home.
There is something
familiarity
already.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when they are put in an hour or 45 minutes in a Malayalam class, where the teacher is actually talking in Malayalam and actually telling a story, mm-hmm. and getting them to repeat certain things, they feel much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the key thing for our classes, Malayalam classes, is to get the kids to be comfortable and feeling good about themselves and do that.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do that, if we try to do what your French instructor did, they probably are going to leave, and they are going to feel so miserable, and their parents are going to feel even more miserable, and they are going to take them out. It is as simple.
So is it an age issue? I mean, because they're young, you want to make it as comfortable for them as possible.
That's
so
right.
Immersion, while it may be like a dramatic way of doing it,
right.
may not get their cooperation.
That is
what you're saying.
That is right.
In fact, there
is an example that I want to bring up. There is a Malayali mom and a Malayali dad, but who had grown up outside of Kerala. So he doesn't read and write Malayalam.
Mm-hmm.
The child has never... They always converse to the child in English.
English, I see. Mm-hmm.
So they really wanted the child to learn Malayalam. So they brought registered and brought the child in. And of course, the teacher... Of course, the medium is Malayalam because, you know, most kids are familiar with it. And it got to... After the first class meeting, the child was pulled out because the parents felt the child couldn't get anything that was being communicated or
couldn't understand a word of it.
Right.
So you had to start for such kids from scratch.
That is right.
And then you have to... And there I see, Madhuji, the importance of the vocabulary. Sometimes if you have a child... It depends on, I guess, from the level of expertise of the child or level of familiarity with the language. But if you know nothing, then maybe you need to start with basics. And that may work. And I love your approach, too. I think it's a very nice concept-based approach. It's time to take another break. We're going to go on a break. We're talking about the challenges of learning a new language, especially an Indian language, with our two experts here, Madhu Agarwal and Manoj Prantiri. When we come back, we're going to talk about, in this particular segment, if you missed it, we've been talking about the ways of teaching language, and we had two very different approaches. And each has its own merits. And in the next segment, we'll talk about some of the challenges that parents face when their children go to language classes. What are the real-life obstacles to learning a new language, especially so far away from home? And if you have some thoughts to share, please get back to us after the break, 510-770-1550. And if you've just tuned in and you're thinking, hey, I missed this show and I would like to listen to it in its entirety, please go back and visit indiacc.org/parenttalk. In a few days, we'll put up the recording of this show. And you can certainly catch it then. But if you have some thoughts to share, we'd like to hear from you. 510-770-1550. And we'll be back after a break. You're listening to ICC Parent Talk. The India Community Center offers Parent and Me classes every Wednesday from 11:15 a.m. to 12:15 p.m. for ages 8 months to 3 years. This class includes age-appropriate activities, circle time, story time, games, etc. More details at indiacc.org/playcare. ICC is looking for an experienced full-time preschool director. To apply, please email hr@indiacc.org. Half-day public speaking camps in Palo Alto. India Community Center, in partnership with Smartly U, will conduct 2 camps on communication and public speaking. These camps are designed to help kids develop self-confidence at a young age and become a successful and effective communicator. For more details, www.indiacc.org. The India Community Center offers a vibrant program for seniors in Milpitas and Cupertino. Our seniors have started the highly successful Jollywood Dancers Troupe, a theater group, knitting club, bridge club, computer class, and many other activities. Our weekly senior programs are in Milpitas, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. from Monday to Friday, and in Cupertino, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Check out www.indiacc.org/seniors. ICC. Welcome back to Parent Talk. This is Vidya, and we're talking to two language experts about the challenges and the methods of teaching an Indian language to our kids. We have a caller on the line, so let's go to the call. Welcome to Parent Talk. What do you have to share with us today?
Anji, I have to say one thing. See, you are here, I am here, lot many Indians here, some are doctors, attorneys, so many things, lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents did not speak English,
mm-hmm.
and still we are successful.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our parents here have the wrong notion.
Mm-hmm.
If they will talk to their kids in English, mm-hmm. their kids will be more smarter than the others.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
They forget that mother tongue in America, English is like mother tongue.
That's right.
Kids watch TV, kids go outside, kids play with the English. They will pick up English.
Mm-hmm.
It is parents' duty to teach them their own mother tongue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They should speak their own language with the kids.
Absolutely.
That is only my request to every parent. Parents have wrong notions that if they will talk to their kids in English,
mm-hmm.
they will be more successful. They are wrong on that point. I'm sorry to say. They should learn that they should talk to their parents in their own language first.
Absolutely. So that we've heard from a caller. Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah.
And actually, that brings me to an interesting question, that because in this segment we are talking about the challenges of learning an Indian language. And as a gentleman pointed out, English is everywhere. It's in the media. It's what your friends speak. It's, you know, you're exposed to it all the time. So you just pick it up naturally. But how do we do that for our language? And I think one of our listeners asked me this question through Facebook, through our Facebook page. By the way, you can check that out. ICC Parent Talk is our Facebook page. They asked me this question that, you know, when I'm trying to teach my daughter Bangla, my problem is that there is no other reinforcement outside. She's not getting to read Bangla books or watch Bangla TV, or nobody else around her is speaking it. So how do I communicate that to her? And so, I'd like to hear from both of you about
this.
So
I'll start. Excellent question. I think, Bhaisab, you have really hit it on the nail, that parents who can speak to their children in their mother tongue, be it Punjabi, Hindi, Malayalam, whatever, they should, because language learning starts at birth. This I believe truly. As far as Vidyaji's question, how to reinforce it, with the younger children, I feel having building a library at home of books at your child's level. So having like picture books for younger children. I have, you know, huge collection at home. I don't force my granddaughter, but she often would come herself, pick up 5-10 books from there. Dadima, I want to read these books with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an exposure we can give them. It's a very small investment. You can share with your neighbors. You can share those books in your community. You can convince your librarian, local librarian, to purchase those books.
And I want to mention that the libraries actually have books in many Indian languages, so that's a resource we really sometimes don't use.
Definitely. And more we check out, more they will order. If those books are sitting on the shelf, nobody's checking them out, they feel, well, they're not circulating, why should we order more? Mm-hmm. But if they are circulating, they will search. But anyways, having a set of books at home can also be very beneficial. And I also feel if the parents can't speak to their child, they should utilize that opportunity to converse with their child.
Manoj, what's your thought?
My thought is, so the Bangla parent, mm-hmm. who would like to have the child getting the exposure, mm-hmm. We are living in the internet age right now.
Right.
We have a lot of these material available online.
That's true.
We also have, because of the internet and everything, you know, we live in a community where we can actually have groups. We can create a group. We can create a meetup group, or we can have a physical Bangla speaking group, speakers uh-huh. group available, so where we can actually have, you know, parents of children of similar age group come and
just
participate.
Practice the language.
Exactly.
It
doesn't have to be every week if, mm-hmm. if there is a time crunch. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, make it every week. You know, it's almost like a play date.
That's right.
You know,
it makes a lot of sense.
Get exposure to your culture.
In fact, I'll share quickly my thing that I used to read books with my granddaughter when, you know, at young age, at certain age when she started going to school, she complained, Grandma, Dadima, at school they don't teach Hindi. I don't want to learn Hindi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was an interesting reaction. So I talked to the school teacher. I said, would you mind if I volunteer for 30 minutes a week and do story time? And we did it with the whole class. There were 25 students, Chinese, you know, Indians, non-Indians, all kinds. And amazingly, they picked up Hindi so well. They were so, you know, receptive about it. In fact, eventually when I had to stop because of other commitments, every day she'll come home and ask, Dadima, Kim was missing you. When are you coming back?
So and I think that's a great idea to make the language accessible and make the child feel that it's not unusual to speak that language. We have just a couple of minutes left. So I just want to ask one question that I think is that I really want to know, which is, what if your child is now a teenager? Is it too late to start learning a new language? Because most people say that language can be learned only, I mean, rather, language is really well absorbed when the children are much younger. But say you want a teenager, or as an adult you want to learn a language, is it much harder? Is it something that still can be done? Can you still get fluent at the language?
Definitely, it's never too late. So I feel children can learn. In fact, at certain age, you know, as they are older, sometimes they have hard time correcting their accents, but reading, writing, they learn very fast, and conversation also. So I feel there's no barriers
there's
to
no
age.
Barrier to that. Yes, as long as, last word.
Absolutely. As long as they have a respect for what they are learning, mm-hmm. and why they are doing it.
So it's never too late. You're
never too late.
Never too late to learn. And on that optimistic note, we have to wind up today. We are out of time. Thank you so much, Manoj, for being on the show. Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Madhuji.
Thank
it was
you,
such a pleasure
you.
Having you. To listen to recordings of this show and past shows, check out indiacc.org/parenttalk. You can also find what our upcoming shows are there. And if you want to participate in any of our shows, please write to me at radio@indiacc.org. That's my email, radio@indiacc.org. And that's where you can send your thoughts and feedback as well. Today's show was produced by Hunar Dhar, and the theme tune was composed by Naren Pradhan. Tune in same time, same place next week for another show on parenting. Till then, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Aap sun rahe hain Radio Zindagi 1550 AM. Cheeja. Cheeja. India.